Matthew chapter 13, if you found your place and you're physically able, I would ask you to stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 13. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 13, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that they were into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. You may be seated. As we came into service Wednesday night, I realized that we had finished up on our mountain moving series, and God had begun to direct our heart into a new series, and we began to preach on the subject of farming for God or farming for Jesus. And I'll say this, we dealt with this topic Wednesday evening, and we were talking about the harvest. Now, I know everybody in here, you love the harvest. You love when the fresh vegetables are coming in and the fresh fruits and all the labor that has been put forth, that we love the harvest. Now, I'll say this to you. I like my foods, and I said it to the crowd Wednesday night, but I don't get excited. Listen to me. I don't get excited when green beans are coming in. I don't get excited. Some of y'all do, and I thank God for that. I thank God for you enjoying those green beans. But I'll say this to you. If I never had to eat another green bean on this side of glory, I'd be all right. Amen? Now, some of you could probably say that about peas. Some of you could say that about potatoes. Some of you could say that about cucumbers, watermelons, squash, okra, and there, so on we could go. But I'll say this. I look forward when summertime comes and those tomatoes are on the vine being ripened, and I thank God for the cucumbers and the squash and the fried okra. There's nothing better than in the midst of the summertime, a good tomato sandwich between a good lather of mayonnaise on both sides and salt and pepper. Hey, I believe, listen to me, that's a little taste of heaven, amen? And boy, I tell you, some folks get excited about when it comes into the harvest, but I'll say this to you this morning. We all look forward to the harvest, but we never want to labor for the harvest. And I'll say this, we find ourselves enjoying the harvest all the time. We're a type of people that enjoy things happening right now. We enjoy things happening on the moment. Might I say to you this evening, we're fast food Christians. We pray about something, we expect it to happen right then. We ask for something, we expect it to happen right then. And sometimes we have to plant some seeds and work the ground and to do a little bit of laboring before we can enjoy the harvest. And can I say to you right now, some of you already prepping your garden. Some of you've already got your seed. Some of you've already disted your land. And that's what we covered Wednesday night, was talking about plowing the ground and disting and getting that dirt ready for the planting that will happen. And I'll say this to you this morning. If all you did was plow the ground and disted it and got the dirt ready, you wouldn't enjoy a harvest. You might enjoy a weed harvest, but you wouldn't enjoy your vegetable harvest. You wouldn't enjoy that. And if all you did was plant the ground or disc the ground and tear it up and plant the seed and you never went back, you're not going to have a big harvest. But I'll say this to you this morning. If we're going to see God do some things big, we've got to do some preparation before we can plant, before we can enjoy the harvest. And I'll say this to you this morning. When we pray about things around the altar, it might take some time before we see something happen. I know Miss Charlena, her dear cousin, and I told Brother David before this, if you're here, and I know there's a special prayer request that you've got, I'd rather you go ahead and tell us about it than me just call out their name. I'd rather you go ahead and fill them in. But I'll say this, Miss Charlena texted me some time ago, and there's been some dark nights, and there's been some dark days with Miss Jessica, and we expected healing immediately, but we're seeing God's healing by staying faithful in prayer. Her name has been called out around this altar in every service. And I'll say this, sometimes it takes some time for God's will to work, and it takes some time in preparation before before we can enjoy the harvest, but there's got to be some labor involved. And as we come into Matthew chapter number 13, we see that the ground has been prepared, might we say, this morning. And Jesus is talking about sowing seed. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I planted taters when I was at Mom and Daddy's house, Mama made sure we put every one of them, Brother Bill, with the eye up. When she cut them taters up and they had that little sprout on them, she'd walk behind you in that aisle. You'd get a 5-gallon bucket of them taters she'd cut up with the eye on it. But every single one of them better have that eye looking up. I said, Mama, can these things not figure out which way's up and which way's down? She said, boy, just plant it with the eye up. They need to see the sun. And I'll say this to you this morning. It'd do some of our Christians good if we'd look up for the sun. Amen. And it'd do some of us good if we'd get planted in our place. And that way we could see the sun. And boy, we looked at that seed out of Isaiah Wednesday night. And they all had a specific place. The rye had a specific place, and the barley was appointed to a place. And I said this to the crowd Wednesday night, you've got a place in this church. Amen. And when you're not in your place, we miss you. And when you're not where you ought to be, we wonder about where you're at. But listen to me, we're not talking about you. We're praying for you, but we wonder where you're at, what's happening in your life. And boy, we worry about how you're doing. But I'll say this, every garden has specific places for certain vegetables. Mom and Daddy had a certain place we planted taters. Brother Odine, they had a certain place we planted corn. We had a certain place we planted our tomatoes. We had a certain place that we plant the okra and the squash plants and so on. How many of y'all do that? Let me ask you something. How many of you just go out there and you look in the middle of your backyard and you just throw the whole tray of stuff out and say, grow if you can? Amen. Anybody do that? If you do, that's my type of garden. Let me know how it turns out. But you've got a specific place. How many of you in here this morning, you make sure you weed your garden? How many of you do that? Amen. How many of you make sure you fertilize your garden? And how many of you make sure it gets water? Brother Johnny, I know he and Miss Lily ain't here this morning. But every morning during the summer months, you'll see Brother Johnny on that red belly tractor. And he'll be dragging a water barrel down here to the river. And he'll fill that water barrel up and go water his garden every morning. I know, you say, preacher, how do you know that? I used to think that was the craziest old man in the middle of the Rhonda, dragging that water barrel around, making everybody late for work, and Johnny just smiling and waving at people. But you pray for the rain. You pray for all this. And I'll say this to you, isn't that how we ought to be in the house of God? I mean, boy, spring is upon us, and boy, we can't wait till the warmer weather, and we can't wait till the sunny days, and we can't wait all this. Boy, right now ought to be the time in the house of God that we're getting in our place, and we're getting to work in the things of God, honey, praying and seeking, hey, a harvest that'll come later on. I want you to notice what happens in Matthew chapter 13. The Bible said Jesus, notice his pulpit. Matthew chapter 13, he's not behind a pulpit in a church, yet he's out and there's a multitude standing on the shore. His pulpit is in the midst of the sea. And Jesus begins to look at that crowd and he speaks in a parable. I'll say this to you this morning. What Jesus was trying to do, he was trying to use an analogy to get their attention. And notice what he said. He said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them. Now, I want to help you with this as best as I can. The best way that I can explain the way this sower is sowing seed is, Brother David, he has an area that he's going to plant in, that he's going to set his area up in. Now, I don't know what type of seed. Some of you say, well, preacher, what type of seed was he planting? I don't know. I don't know if he was planting grass. I don't know if he was planting lettuce. I don't know what type of seed he was planting. But what I do know is he went forth to sow some seed. And what I imagine he was doing was much like grass seed. He had it in his hand and he was just casting it about in the general area. And I want you to notice where the grass seed landed, might we say, this morning. But notice what happens. The Bible says that some seeds fell by the wayside. Some of that seed fell off on the other side. Some of that seed landed in places it shouldn't have been. Some of those seeds landed in a place that wasn't ready to be sowed in. Some of that seed got out of the area that he was in to throw it. So might I say to you this morning, he wasn't shooting direct, but he was much like a shotgun preacher. He was preaching a pattern wide and it hit where it hit. And he wasn't focusing in on one place, but he was simply scattering the seed. Notice what happens. The fowls come by and devoured it. How many of you ever planted grass seed and seen the birds come and get it? Amen. Isn't that frustrating? I can't use Brother David's life to preach my message. I can't use Brother Odin's, but I can only use what God's allowed me to see. I'll never forget, Mom and Daddy, we had the best weed patch yard anybody ever had. And Mama would get grass seed, and she'd go out there, her and Daddy, and they'd get us to help. And they'd throw grass seed, and they'd put straw down in it. And just in the last year, they done this between the house and the shop where the old building used to be. And Mama's got those barnyard chickens. And it's like those chickens know exactly what you're doing. Because as soon as you get done, they're up there scratching and eating your seed. And I watched my mama, my mother, I love her. But her in Brooklyn last summer would chase the chickens. Literally, they would chase the chickens. They would take off of the stick and across the yard and would run those chickens out of where that seed was planted. Now, granted, those chickens eat a lot of the seed, but you know what? Some of the seed came up. And I'll say this to you this morning. Not every person is going to listen to what you got to say. Not every person is going to hear what you've got to hear. And sometimes when we're preaching, listen to me, whether it's at a funeral, honey, whether it's at a wedding, whether it's on the job site, honey, all that, we may be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether we're at the restaurant or wherever we may be. Hey, listen to me, some of it is just falling off on the wayside. Some of it's not getting caught up in anything. And some of it's just going for naught. And the fowls are devouring it up. They're taking it away. They're not allowing it to take root. Notice what he says. He says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Now I want you to notice the second place where the seed lays. The seed fell on a stony place. Now notice what he says. It sprung up. I mean, boy, it just popped up. You know what I stand amazed at? Every single one of you that plant a garden, when you plant your taters, every week you go down there and check and see if they're coming up. How many of you be honest and say, yep, preacher, that's me. When you plant the seed or your beans or your corn, you go check them. When you got your onion set, sis, you go check to see when they're springing up. And mama, we would have done the same thing. During the summertime, when we were out of school, Brother Quinn, when we planted a garden, we had to go check and see what was coming up. If the corn was coming up, we had to be on crow patrol. That meant we had to get rid of the crows. We had to run them off. We had to put up scarecrows. So we had to put up flags in the garden. And sometimes we even got the privilege to shoot the crows. So we had to be aware. Notice how quick this springs up. Can I say this to you this morning? There are some of these that are in the house of God. There's no depth to their life. There's no deepness, spiritually speaking. And boy, they hear about Jesus. And they hear about what God can do. And they get in the house of God. And boy, it's like they're on fire. But all of a sudden, they burn out. How many of you this morning know somebody like that? They got in the house of God. Boy, they was going to live right. They was going to do right. And about 6 months, you couldn't find them no more. They couldn't go to the house of God. They got busy. They got tied up. They had other things that was a part. You want me to tell you what happened? They had a flesh meeting of religion. They never had a soul conversion. Honey, they never got into the depth of God. They was not willing to allow the seed to take a deep root. They just wanted a superficial feeling and enjoy a quick harvest of their life. Notice what happens. The Bible says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Notice this. And some fell among the thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them out. Can I say this to you? We see this also in the house of God. We're going somewhere with this. We also see this in the house of God. We see somebody get saved and they go back to school, and whoever their friends are, or they go back to their job, or they go home back to their family, and we see that they're non-believers, and this individual may have got saved, but because of the crowd that they're in, they get choked out of going to church. They get drug right back into the sin they're in. They get drug right back into the hell holes that God drug them out of. They get drug right back into the light worldliness that was in this world. And they lose what God's given them. Can I say this to you also? The Bible says, but other fell into good ground. Boy, that's like a Baptist church on Sunday morning. It's good ground. You say, preacher, what's that? They've prayed all week. Listen to me. Ever church members lived right all week. They did exactly what they're supposed to do. They've got their Sunday best on, and they come to the house of God. And boy, there's good ground to preach on. You say, preacher, what did you just do? I just told a lie behind the pulpit. Let's be real honest. There might be a crowd of 60 or 70, but God seems to be working in 3 or 4. Or God may seem to be working on the one, and the rest of the seed may be falling to the wayside. The rest of the seed may be springing up in the fowls, and the heat is destroying it. The rest of the seed may be going off to the deep side. But can I say to you, there is some good ground to preach to. There is some good ground where the seed will take root and begin to dig in and begin to root in and will begin to spring up. And when the heat comes and the tribulation comes, that seed will stand firm because it has a good foundation. That seed will provide fruit, honey, for generations around them. But you know something that's very interesting? Not every seed produces the same amount of fruit. How many of you ever planted a tomato plant that just bears loaded with tomatoes? And then you got Scrawny Joe tomato plant over here, and it's lucky to produce one. And you know what? I've heard it said, that thing don't do no better, I'm going to pull it up. Anybody ever said that? Listen to me. Just be thankful it give you one. Honey, they all ain't going to produce 30 tomatoes. If every one of them produced 30 tomatoes, how many tomatoes would you waste? Can I say to you this morning, every plant, listen to me, is under the hand of God to produce fruit. Now this morning, some of you say, well, preacher, that's fine and well. What is Jesus speaking about? I want to say this to you, number one. We are all sowers. Listen to me. It is not the preacher's job to do all the sowing. It is not the preacher's job to do all the weeding. It is not the preacher's job to do all the watering. It is not the preacher's job to do all the caretaking of the garden. Can I say this to you this morning? Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle is your garden. Amen. Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle is your garden. It is your field. It is your place that God has put you to work. Listen to me, honey. It is not put here for just anybody that passes through, honey, to see what's going on. But God has designed a specific plan that you're sitting on the pew that you're sitting on. It's because God has got a purpose for your life. And God has got a purpose for you to flourish. And God has got a work for you to do. You say, preacher, I've only been here a few times. God has something at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle that you were supposed to do, and God has a divine will for your life. You've just got to set in your place and produce what God will have you produce. Amen. Can I say this to you this morning? I thank God for my dad, an older preacher, an older former pastor. Listen to me. Bless his heart. You pray for him. He's been discouraged in this storm that he's in. He's been discouraged as my assistant pastor, and I try to encourage him. He needs your prayers. But I'll say this to you right now. He has a purpose. I'll say, you say, preacher, why is that? Listen to me. Some of those white-headed folks will listen more to him than they will a young preacher. You say, why is that? You can say what you want to, but it's easier to relate somebody closer to your age than somebody 30 years younger than you. And can I say this to you? The young, listen, I still think I'm young. I still think I'm 20 years old. And when I try to go do stuff with you, I'm sore for like 6 days. I'm not 20 years old, but I try to be. And listen, I'm going to say this. I thank God that our youth group didn't go ice skating this year. Can I say this to you? And I'm being as generous as I can. I thank God for the opportunity to go do that. But for the next 2 weeks, I'm sure I tore some muscles out of place. You say, preacher, you didn't do nothing but hang on to the rail. I still did it. I don't know how I done it, but I did it. When I get out and do stuff like that and throw ball and play and wrestle with these youngins, I get sore. You know what I'm finding out, Matthew? I'm not as young. I'm kind of middle of the road. I'm right on the midst of the mountain right now. I'll either fall off or I'll just gradually slide down in the best I can. But I enjoy that. I can relate to the 20s and the 30-year-olds and some 40-year-olds. I can relate to those who are in high school. But I thank God for the young preachers that can relate to the children and help the children. I thank God for the older preachers. But we've all got to work we're supposed to do. Notice we're all sowers. You say, preacher, how am I a sower? Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 26. We're reading about the Apostle Paul. Paul was standing before Agrippa, and these are some of the saddest words that Agrippa had ever said. But I want you to know what Paul does. He begins to tell King Agrippa about how he got converted. He says in verse number 15, "And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Paul was giving King Agrippa his testimony. Can I say this? You said, preacher, I don't know a lot of scripture. Preacher, I can't preach. I'm not being called to preach. I can't tell other people about preaching about like what you're doing. But listen to me, friend. You can tell them how a sinner got saved by the blood of the Lamb. How Jesus reached down further than you ever reached up. How your soul was dying and going to devil's hell. And the dear Lamb of God reached out of love and came and hung on an old rugged cross in your stead and died on Calvary and rose again on the third day and ascended and sat down on the right hand of God. How a God that holy saved a sinner as guilty as you. Can I say this to you this morning? The Apostle Paul was simply giving Agrippa his testimony. He said, Jesus said unto him, but rise and stand with thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Notice in verse number 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Can I say this to you this morning? It is not my goal to beat you to salvation. It is not my goal, Brother David, had to beat you and to hang you out over the pits of hell and let you taste the flames of hell. It is my goal, listen to me, through the help of God, that you see yourself as a sinner dying and going to hell, that your eyes would be open to the wickedness of this world, that your eyes would be open us to the place called hell, and that you would see a God who's merciful that gave his only begotten son that you could be saved. It is not our place to beat people. Can I say this to you this morning? Sometimes the ground you're working takes one or two more passes before you can use it. Listen to me, preacher, I'm frustrated. I've witnessed to my kids. I've witnessed to my grandkids. I've witnessed to my nephews and nieces. And they're just a bunch of hellions. I can't do nothing with them. Listen to me. Sometimes that ground takes some work. Sometimes that ground takes some folks getting out there and pulling the rocks out. Sometimes that ground takes some time with the plow dropping in and pulling the dirt up. Sometimes you have to go over it with a disc more than one time, honey, before you can ever plant a seed. But I thank God, we've been called by His holiness to be a seed planter of the gospel. Paul said, he's a minister and a witness of both these things which thou hast seen. Verse 18, he says, to open their eyes. Listen to me, I don't care if it's on the job. I don't care if it's at home. I don't care if it's in the restaurant. Honey, I don't care if it's in the bar. If God gloriously saved you and you've been born again, listen to me, you ought to be planting seeds everywhere you go. Preacher, I used to leave tracks in the bathroom. They always got thrown away. There might be that one that comes in and picks it up. Preacher, I used to leave cards at the gas pump, and I used to leave a track at the gas pump that it seems to get thrown away. Listen to me, not all seed hits on full ground and growing ground. Some fowls come by and devour it. Preacher, I used to tell everybody about how Jesus loved them. Can I say this to you first thing? If you see somebody living in sin and you walk up to them and you say, you're going to die and go to hell for doing that, guess what? They done turned you off. But if you'll go up and strike a conversation with him and just find out who they are, find out what they're doing. Me and Anna had to run to Winston to do some errands yesterday evening, and we were in a place, and this gentleman was trying to talk to me. And I talked to him for a minute, and I said, "Look, buddy," I said, "I've got to run over here and get some stuff before I forget about it." And I said, "Let me do that, and then we'll see." He said, "All right, when you go get that, you come back." Anna looked at me, and we walked off. She said, "Are you really going back?" I said, "No." Because I'm going to tell you, he was trying to sell me something, and I wasn't going to sell him nothing. But I'll say this to you. No matter who you run into, you are to try to plant the Word of God. You are to try to just invite them to church. It may be as simple as this. You may be able to just give them the church website, tell them a little bit about who you are, tell them a little bit about the church. And you know what the first thing they'll say? "Well, I ain't going to go to church. I just not going to go to church." Anybody ever told you that before? But you know what? They can go online and listen to the message in the house of their home. They don't have to get up and go to church. I mean, we're planting seeds out there, honey, that are praying that it'll take root, that it's not falling by the wayside. Saul or Paul told Agrippa, he said, "We're to open their eyes." Notice what Jesus says as these disciples begin to try to figure out what's going on. And verse number 11, the Bible says, Jesus said this, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is given not given." Notice what happens in verse 14. The Bible says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." You know what Jesus was telling his disciples? He says, "You're living in a generation that's got everything they want." He says, "Their heart has waxed fat." He says, "They're dull of hearing." We've been working on something with Miss Brooklyn at home. It's trying to get her to listen. I know she listens, but putting listening into action are two different things. We listen a lot of times. Now, I'll throw us men under the bus. How many times has your wife really been talking and she's wanting you to listen? And you say, "Oh, yes, I'm listening." And if she was to ask you what she talked about 30 minutes later, Matthew, you wouldn't have a clue, would you? He says, "Oh, yeah, I would." Sometimes we're listening, but we're not hearing. How many of you ladies, now listen to me, Anna's guilty of this. We'll be riding down the road, and Brother Kenny, I'm trying to share something with her. God's laid something on my heart that I'm praying about, and I was sharing it with her. And finally yesterday, I said, "Are you listening to me?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." "Well, what I've been saying," she's got her phone, she's looking on Facebook, and she's telling me something random, Brother Bill, that wasn't what I was talking about. And I said, "I'm trying to have a serious conversation with you. Would you just listen?" Can I say this to you this morning? The question we have in our church is, we're listening, but are we hearing? We're listening, we're attentive, but are we hearing? We live in a generation that listens, but they don't hear. You'll tell your child, "Don't stick your hand to that, it's hot." "Oh, okay, Daddy." Well, 5 minutes later, what do they do? Psst. "Don't get in the cookie jar. You're going to ruin your lunch." "Okay, I'll not." 5 minutes later, they're digging in the cookie jar. They listen, but they never heard. Our hearing has grown dull. We've heard about Jesus so very much. We've heard that Jesus is soon coming. We've heard that the rapture could happen any moment. We've heard that the end of times are upon us. We've heard about all this. But have we held it and heard it? We've got fat where we're at. Well, he didn't come today. Maybe tomorrow. He might come in 10 years. Can I say this to you? Every opportunity we have is a gift from God. Every moment that we have is a blessing from God. We are to cherish our lives. Notice what he said. He said, they hear. Their hearing is dull. Notice what he says in verse number 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away, that which was sown in his heart. How many of you ever been going down the road and first thing you say is, well, I think. Listen to me, you'll get in trouble when you start thinking. Did you know that? I was working on a project one time, Brother Scott, and that's where I found, I hate that word, I got to thinking. I found out that I really didn't like it. I was doing some plumbing or something, and Brother Lewis, I got to thinking that this would work. And Anna said, do you think that'll work? And I said, I think it will. Guess what? It didn't work. How many of you ever left a message or read something in the Bible and you got to thinking? And all of a sudden, what it really meant got took away from you. You say, what happened? I'm going to say this to you this morning. The devil would like nothing more than to steal what God's gift to you. He would like to steal your kids. He would like to steal your grandchildren. He would like to steal your happiness, your joy. Listen to me, there is nothing more than the devil would like to do is to have you depressed and you so caught up in sin that you have no joy at all. And can I say this to you this morning? I'm telling you, God loves you. God forgives you. If you'll come and confess Him as Lord of your life and accept Him in your heart and ask Him to save you, He will. But I'll tell you, the devil will tell you, wait till next time. Wait till the next service. Maybe next Sunday. I'm telling you this morning, it'll be a good day for you to get your life right. You say, well, preacher, I've got this I got to straighten out. I've got that I got to straighten out. I got to get all this straightened out. I'm telling you, some of that weed's falling by, or some of that seed is falling beside the wayside, and the weeds are choking it out, and the fowls are picking it up. And what Jesus is saying, He's saying that wayside is where some of you are at this morning. You're here, but you'll never produce. You'll never grow anything. But notice in verse number 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and Anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, and by he is offended. You wouldn't believe it, the people that come into Ronda Baptist Tabernacle. And Brother Gwil, they get a hold of it. And boy, they're excited to be here. They're on fire. They want to help in any way they can. And 7 or 8 months down the road, I preach something that goes against what they're doing. And rather than get right with God, they leave. Would y'all believe that this morning? Happens everywhere else. You say, what do? They leave this church. They go down to Maple Springs. And boy, Brother Ponder, they're ready to go for a while. And Brother Ponder all of a sudden preaches something that goes right down the middle of their tater patch. And he plows their row slap out. And guess what? They get mad and they leave. How come you reckon there's over 700 churches in Wilkes County? How come you reckon in the state of North Carolina there's more churches by square mile than they are in the state of Michigan? It's because we hear what we want to hear. And when it don't suit us, our roots ain't very deep, so we pack up and leave. Can I say this to you? Listen to me. I'm trying to help you. Brother Marty Schaffner told Anna one time before we got married, she was traveling between here and Charity Hill. And Anna, you can help me if I get this wrong, but he said, a rolling stone gathers no moss. You say, what does that mean? He was picking at her. He said, you need to settle down so you can grow. But he was joking. And when I got to thinking about that thought, and it come back to me as I was studying for this, some of you this morning need to get planted in your place. Listen to me. You're not here by coincidence. You're not here by happenstance. You ain't here just because you wanted to come by here. God had a direct, infinite plan on you being here this Sunday morning. Well, preacher, the only reason I come is I couldn't get out and do this. But now I'll not come back tonight because Duke's playing basketball. You telling me you'd rather stay out of church and pull for a devil than come and worship a holy God? Amen. Think about that a while. Well, preacher, you don't understand. This is to get into the Final Four. Listen to me. Set your DVR, honey. I promise you, if you'll go watch ESPNU, you'll see the ball games tomorrow. You want me to tell you what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be a little team from Chicago that's going to win it all, and Duke's going to get beat. You say, preacher, why is that? I don't know, just to stir some of y'all up this morning. Some of you Carolina fans are shouting because I said Duke was going to get beat. But notice what I'm saying. You've got to take root. You wonder why the winds blow and it seems like you get knocked down. It's because you ain't got no root. It's because you ain't got no depth. It's because you've not got a hold of good ground. You just keep getting pulled up and set here and pulled up and set here. I'm telling you, a plant will never produce if you don't put it in good ground. And I'll tell you what, God's been good to Ronda Baptist Tabernacle, and the S-O-N shines here a lot. It's good ground to plant in. It's good ground to set your roots in. It's good ground so when persecution and tribulation comes. Honey, I got a text message from a lady this week that ain't been here in so long. She said, I have an awesome church family. She said, I don't know where I would be if I didn't have a church that was praying for me. You said, preacher, who said that? Miss Betty Green said that. She said her heart's here. Her wants is here. But her health ain't allowed her to be here. She said, but the calls and the cards and the Facebook messages and all that she gets. She said she knows she's in good ground and she thanks God she has an awesome church family. I'm going to tell you what. I've heard people leave this church before and every one of them said, I felt like they knew me for years. I did not feel like I was a stranger. Honey, you need to get seated. Get planted. Notice what he says. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he become unfruitful. Listen to me. If you're going to serve God, you've got to cut some ties with some stuff. I heard Olin Barker say years and years ago, he said, I can drink all that I want to drink. He said, I could smoke all that I want to smoke. He said, I could dope all that I want to dope. He said, I could run around on Miss Grace all that I want to run around on. He says, but I just don't want to. You say, why is that? When you get born again, you won't want to do what you used to do. When you trust God with everything and you fully commit to Him, you won't want to run around with that drunk crowd. You won't want to run around with that drug crowd. Honey, it would do you some of you good if you got light, right, your life right to stand up and say, I'll not put up with it. And to cut ties with some of this stuff. Notice what else he says. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. He didn't just listen, he heard it. And understood it, which also beareth fruit. What am I? I'm having to watch with Brooklyn. I love her. And we're really working on this listening thing. And I've got to ask her, Mr. Aldine, I said, are you listening? Oh, yeah, Daddy, I'm listening. And I took it a step further, Matthew. I said, do you understand what I'm saying? And she looks at me. And so this morning, she wasn't listening. But she hears certain stuff. When she's not listening, and I say, we got her a couple of little pairs of sandals last night. That child loves sandals and loves snow. I don't understand it. But Miss Charlene, we got her those sandals, and she was so excited. And when she wasn't listening, we said it was time to go to bed. She listened to us, but she didn't hear us. She said, well, I'm going to bed. And in about 5 minutes, she's always got to come back. She's got to give Mama a hug and a kiss. Then she'll run back to the bed. In about another 5 minutes, she's got to give Riley a hug and a kiss. Then she'll go back. In about another 5 minutes, then she's got to come give Daddy hugs and kisses. Then she'll go back to bed. And then she'll say, Mommy, I got to potty in about 5 minutes. So this going to bed is like a 2-hour procedure. And so I have started. Ain't that right, Brooklyn? Are you listening, Brooklyn? Do you understand? She's hiding behind Mommy. But I told her, I said, it's time to go to bed. And she listens like a lot of teenagers. But she don't understand. But I found she does listen and understand some things. When it got time to go to bed, Brother David, the other night she was pitching a fit. She didn't want to go to bed. She didn't want to go to sleep. And I thought, we'll see how well she listens and hears. I said, if you don't go to bed, I'm going to take Bear. She listened. She went to bed. But she didn't hear. She got back up. Guess what? A little pink teddy bear slept with me all night. You know what? She's listening and hearing and understanding. Last night it was time to go to bed. She had already tried her sandals on at Gigi's. But they would fit different, Daddy, when we get home if I try them on at home. It's bedtime. Okay, Daddy, but just let me try my sandals on. I said, I want to know if you're listening, because I said go to bed. And if you don't go to bed, I'm going to take the sandals back. All of a sudden, listening, hearing, and understanding comes together. I'm curious this morning. Some of you are sitting here. Are you listening? Are you hearing? And do you understand? What am I listening to? We're sowers. The town of Rhonda is your field. It needs some work. There's some places we can plant some seeds. Well, preacher, I've been out on visitation and it don't ever seem like anybody I visit ever comes to church. But you know what? God might send Scott and Melissa in. God might send Brother Kenny and Miss Jody in as visitors. God might have sent some visitors in over here or some visitors in over here. It may not be who you went to see, but God rewarded the effort. You see, we've got a field in the city limits of Rhonda. I'm not talking about Elkin. I'm not talking about Clemen. I'm not talking about Rowan River. But right in the streets of Rhonda is our fields to work. It's not my place to go down to Elkin where Maple Springs and thanks to Calvary, all those other good Baptist churches are at. It's not my place to go into their fields and work. But God's given me my own field to work. Have we planted anything? You see, as we continue this series, we don't plant it, Brother David, and it pops up tomorrow. We can plant it right now, but there's some growing time before we get to enjoy the harvest. You see, we plowed the ground Wednesday night. This morning we sowed the seed. Now my question is, are there some here this morning that's got good ground that the seed's trying to take root, trying to get in there and to begin to start bud? Or are you one here this morning, you come in and you're by the wayside and the devil's already flying by you trying to take what's been preached? You're trying to get it right in your head. You're trying to put it to what you think. Or you one here this morning, it's fail and there's stony ground. You're here, you're looking for a quick fix. You're looking for God to fix everything right now. You're not looking long term. Can I say this to you this morning? If you'll make your way down this altar, I promise you, if you'll get in touch with God and get your ground right, God will plant a seed in your heart named Jesus Christ that'll spring up. Listen to me, it may be a small seed, but somebody else might water it, but it becomes the greatest tree you've ever seen. That little bitty mustard seed, I've got it right here on my coat. That little bitty mustard seed will become one of the biggest trees you've ever seen. And birds will lodge, and the fruit it bears. But where's your ground at this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed as Miss Jody comes this morning to play softly on the piano. The invitation is given.